It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
And we are back. Thank you for hanging out on Davin's Den. The gang is all together tonight. We solve world problems on the first segment. That's what we do here. We solve.
That's right. That's why we need the full staff.
Yes, that's exactly right, Joe.
There's problems only we can solve.
Might be true. I don't think anybody else has thought of a national influencer before.
No.
What?
We need the full complement of Densters to be able to solve the world's problems.
That's right.
Exactly. All right, so we will solve some more problems because that's what we do. All right, Joe's favorite politician, Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, said on Wednesday that if the GOP wins a majority in Congress, it will investigate companies that stopped donating to them after the Capitol riot. Good name for a band, by the way. Capitol riot. Good name for a band.
Yes, actually.
Speaking on former Trump advisor Steve Bannon's War Room podcast, will he be able to continue that while he's in jail, or will the podcast be on hiatus? How's that going to work out?
Every time I hear Steve Bannon's name, I got to yell, Bannon!
Yeah. I think that it's kind of like, you know, you get to choose. Are you going to work in the kitchen? You're going to make license plates? You get a podcast? I think that's totally up to him.
4 months of hard labor podcasting.
Hey, sometimes it is hard.
Poor guy will be down to one shirt. Anyway, Green accused unnamed businesses of corporate communism. She suggested that she and her Republican colleagues should probe such companies for their conduct. You know what they did after January 6th, Steve? They stopped donating. All the lobbyists, all the big corporations stopped donating to a whole bunch of my Republican colleagues and that they used to donate to. Wah! Ricky! Wah! Jesus Christ.
They said that made their shareholders unhappy?
I don't know. They said, oh no, we can't support you because of the big lie, or whatever they want to call it, she continued. There's going to be investigations coming, Green added. And there should be. There definitely should be. Because the way corporations have conducted themselves, I've always called it corporate communism. You can look it up. She always, you know, when she was a kindergartner, she was asked to talk about the businesses in her neighborhood, and she said, I don't go to them because of the corporate communism. You could look it up. She's always been ahead of the curve on this, that Marjorie Taylor Greene. And unfortunately, that was the last grade she completed. But anyway, Greene.
Off with that one ice cream truck.
Yes. The chocolate and vanilla swirl. I don't like them swirled together. Anyway, Greene also advised big businesses to lawyer up and focus on customer service instead of politics. I have a lot of comments about this. Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene said on Wednesday that if the GOP wins a majority in Congress, it'll investigate companies that stop donating to them after the Capitol riot. Speaking of... Why did I print that twice? Why did I do that? Anyway. It's unclear what investigations Greene wants to conduct. Well, so first she's going to go after the Jewish space lasers. And she's appointing Kyrie Irving as a special investigator.
Space.
Yes, Kyrie and Kanye will be all over that. She also did not provide a list of corporations that she wanted the GOP to investigate. A spokesperson for Green did not immediately respond to insiders' request for a comment. They just rolled their eyes. Anyway, Axios reported on Wednesday that several large firms are hiring lawyers in anticipation of a Republican-controlled House. They are preparing for a possible GOP revenge against companies that support the Democratic Party, per Axios. Green currently lacks the power to launch investigations or tie her shoes. The Georgia representative was stripped, and nobody wanted to see that. No, the Georgia representative was stripped of her committee assignments in February 2021. She was accused at the time of promoting right-wing conspiracy theories and endorsing violence against her congressional colleagues. Greene objected to being stripped of her positions. Well, that's what you would do. Claiming per NPR that she was just a very regular American. A very, very stupid regular American who stumbled across the QAnon conspiracy theory. You know, I can relate. Because I remember we talked about my wife breaking her ankle when we moved here.
Yeah.
Originally, I thought it was ice. I did a deep dive. She actually tripped over a QAnon conspiracy theory in her driveway, our driveway, as a regular American would do.
Actually, one of the QAnon conspiracy theories chased me down your driveway when I was leaving the den.
They're hanging out in the bushes. They really are.
Terrifying.
Those pesky QAnon conspiracy theories that you don't have to, that they're just everywhere.
Separately, it was hiding in the bushes.
Separately, President Donald Trump has discussed giving Green an important position in his administration. If he were to win the presidency again, Rolling Stone reported in October, a source close to Trump told Rolling Stone this role could be a senior position at the Department of Justice. Yay! Robert Draper, a journalist of the... Doesn't he sound like he should be on Breaking Bad or something? Robert Draper, a journalist at the New York Times magazine... Robert Draper, a journalist at the New York Times magazine, told the Daily Beast in October that Trump has repeatedly discussed picking Green as his 2024 running mate because she's been unflaggingly loyal to him. And I gotta tell you, when you're a heartbeat away from the presidency, unflaggingly loyal is what I'm going to. I want somebody who's loyal to a corpse, Joe. I want somebody who's gonna make sure they pick out a good suit for me when I'm dead. Because I need somebody, because that's what I want with my vice president. Green previous...
I just want to hear about Trump picking Green again.
Well, that was in reference to a booger. Green previously told Draper that she would be honored to serve as Trump's running mate, but also said she would likely be considered too divisive to take on the role, even by the GOP standards. She also told Draper that House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy should be prepared to give her more power and leeway if he wants to keep the Republican base happy. Green is running for re-election in Georgia's 14th district. All right, I got a lot of things to say about this. Because this isn't the normal Marjorie Taylor Greene batshit crazy stuff. This is actually real. I do believe this could happen. Because she does wield a lot of power in that party. She talks about corporate communism. But wouldn't corporate communism be forcing companies to donate to government, to the government and people running for office? Wouldn't that be the corporate communism, right?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. You know what? Maybe I should run in Georgia. Anyway.
You know why I've been so quiet about this?
I've enjoyed it.
Because, because she's nuts. And it's almost like going, all right, we're going to break down what the nut in front of Penn Station just yelled out. You can't go after these people for choosing not to defund what you're running on. It's their choice. You can't go after them. And number two, why don't you have, we just discussed it before, and this is where it gets to a far base in a party pandering to your their base. You're not mentioning anything, and I have the same problem with the January 6th Commission. Never mind that shit. Never mind this shit. We have a problem with inflation. We have a problem with the infrastructure. Who gives a shit about this? And going back to your point, why don't you give points on how you're going to rebuild lower interest rates, rebuild the economy, worry about why we've got 52 days worth of fucking diesel fuel left, which could dismantle the country. And this is what she's worried about.
Well, Joe, I will tell you the answer to that. And it kind of is what you said, playing to the base. Unfortunately, the Republican base doesn't want answers. I know you want answers, but you're not the majority. The Republican base wants to own the libs. That's what they want to do, and Marjorie Taylor Greene is very good about talking about owning the libs. Let's be honest, she doesn't have any answers to anything. I could get, I could do Savage Medicine, and she would have done worse than Tom Myers. She has no answers.
Because she's based on insane rhetoric. The media.
But this is real.
Because it keeps the magna base going. And picking her as a running mate, I mean, I don't think Trump's going to run. This would be absolutely suicide.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I guess we'll skip around a little bit. Let's pretend, and he is insane, and so is she. Let's pretend she is chosen as the vice president for the running mate. Are you going to vote for that?
I don't know. I don't know, and I'll tell you why. I have to look at what the left is offering, and I also have to look at policy. If there's policy there that I feel will help the country move forward, then I'm going to vote for them because I figure, all right, they're nuts, but at least maybe we can get some policy put forward, you know.
Well, I'm going to have to push back on you. First of all, Trump never had policy. That wasn't his strength. And she certainly doesn't have policy. I mean, if you want policy, theoretically, Mitch McConnell. I mean, theoretically, if you want policy. And
But there was an agenda that Trump had, and he went down the list and started to get things.
And now his agenda is the election. That's the agenda now. He doesn't talk about, and this is some of the critiques from people on the right, he doesn't talk about what he's going to do to make your life better. He's still talking about the election he lost.
And I've said this before, where I can't understand, and this is going back on what these people are thinking. Okay, the election, whatever, you have your thoughts, but nobody gives a damn about it. You have a smorgasbord of things to pick the Democratic Party apart about. A crime, the economy, the border. They don't even know what it shows. And you could be focusing on that and hitting home runs on policy on that, but you choose this. Marjorie Taylor Greene. Why are we not? You know, why are these contributors not? Because we need to look into this. Fuck it. Why don't you win into policies to bring them back? You know, this is what I'm saying.
All right. Well, let's continue with this article. So she complained that the lobbyists aren't spending money on the GOP. It wasn't that long ago where all the politicians at least gave us lip service that they weren't bending knee to the lobbyists. I mean, right, left, they all said that. She's on record now is complaining the lobbyists are not buying me. They're not buying the GOP.
They haven't spent enough money to fill my pockets, so now I'm mad at them.
And I call that a bullhorn statement, something that you're just going to yell out to get attention. And you know, there's a contingent of people, unfortunately, that listen to what they say, which are very extreme MAGA, and will buy that. Where it's, like I said, I've always felt like Sarah Palin is an asshole. Marjorie Taylor Greene's fucking nuts, you know?
Well, so I'll tell you this. I do think if they get control of the House, and it seems like they will investigate. I think that's something that they will do. They will investigate business. I don't know what they're trying to find.
Then they're shooting themselves in the foot because it's not up to the. If they're not getting a donation from a certain company or whatever, that's their choice, and they shouldn't be investigated. They have nothing to. What's that about? Because they don't want it. It's not a conspiracy. They chose that they felt maybe they didn't want to invest in the party to a political climate. That's a choice. That's a free choice, and to investigate that, you know, it's really if I don't want to start donating, or I have a customer and they're not buying my product anymore, I'm going to try to see how I can win back their business. I'm not going to investigate them. The only thing I'm going to investigate with them is who are they buying from, what's the price they're paying from them, and how can we meet that price to get their business back.
But here's what she's doing. The Supreme Court has already said, I can't remember the case, unfortunately, right now, but it's a famous case we've talked about plenty of times, that political donations are speech. They've already said that. The Supreme Court has said that. So what she's essentially doing is attacking free speech, which, I mean, you would think the Democrats, if they have to, would make that argument. I don't trust them to be competent enough to make that argument. But that is the argument that I would make. They are attacking free speech because traditionally it's the left that gets bombarded, and justifiably so in some cases, for going after free speech. Well, I would volley that right back at them. I mean, listen, I agree with you. She's nuts, but she's got a lot of power in that party. She really does. And if the government's coming after corporations for not donating, isn't that really just communism? I mean, does it get more Big Brother than that? Than having to be compelled? Because if I don't donate, I'm going to be investigated? I mean, that is scary.
Yeah.
And what is going to be the fallout if they investigate you and they find that you made that decision not to donate to them because of the January 6th you know, insurrection or whatever reason that it is that they just made that decision, what's going to be the political payback? I mean, the whole, it seems like the GOP's whole platform is political payback.
Well, that's what I said.
What kind of platform is that for the American people?
Well, that's why I said in segment one, unfortunately, we have only one party that actually wants to govern. Whether you like their policies or not, it's not really the right way to run a country. You kind of need some competing ideas. And unfortunately, we don't have another party that wants to govern. We have a party that wants to
you got to see who the messenger is. I mean,
I understand that, but you poo-poo her. Trump really likes her. I think she's the third highest in getting donations. Political donations. She, if the Republicans take power, take over Congress, she is going to have power. I mean, right, she's going to move from sideshow to a real problem. That's what's going to happen.
Sideshow to freak show.
Yes, better the way you put it.
I don't think that it will get to that point because there will be powers that be in the back room that will notice that she would be a problem.
Who?
And would be very detrimental.
Who? We have left that long ago.
Where are the adults in the room?
Those people are now considered rhinos.
But still, you probably have Mitch McConnell. You see, the good thing about Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi, as much as I don't like them, is they are able, well, so far, I don't know how they control, to wrangle the far fringes of the party, you know, like on basically the Democratic side, you know, Pelosi will be able to wrangle your AOCs and so forth. On the right side, you know, McConnell could rein in somebody like
McConnell has lost control. He is considered a rhino now. Trump attacks him. Trumpists attack him. Well, I mean, you think Mitch McConnell was Herschel Walker in Georgia and Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania? No! No! Because he knows if he had real candidates, you know, these races would probably be over now instead of them being trailing. No! But he has no control. And he certainly doesn't have control over the House. And Speaker McCarthy has shown he's got no backbone. So I know it's comforting for you to think, you know, when they take over the House, she's not going to have that much influence. I think she is. I hope you're right. I really hope you're right. But
I think I am right because she's bad for business.
She's not, though. She's not. She's good for business. You, my friend, are going to be more and more looked at as a rhino. I'm telling you. That's where the party is. As conservative as you are, as much as you've supported Trump through the years, this type of talk is going to have people in your party look at you as a rhino. It's sad. It's the way it is, but it's sad.
It might, you know what, though? It might get to the point where if you do get in, and it's going to be the same, you know, the same thing with the rhetoric with the January 6th commission, where they're concentrating on this. Meanwhile, nobody's really, you know, you're not hearing about inflation, right?
Hold on. They are putting forth policies. They have passed legislation. I mean, things are getting done. We got the CHIPS Act. We got the infrastructure. I mean, they are doing things. So I can't just let you say they're not doing anything. They've actually accomplished a lot in the past 2 years. Policies that if it was probably your guy putting it forward, you'd probably like a lot of them.
And what policies are that?
I think you would like the CHIPS Act.
What's the CHIPS Act?
Where they have to make microchips in the United States.
Well, there are some things. But I do not like the Green New Deal.
But it hasn't passed. There is no Green New Deal. The Green New Deal is.
You're going to see a lot of Green New Deal initiatives coming through, especially with fuel and fracking, with the gas heat. You can't get gas.
We have more natural gas than any other country in the world. We are producing more oil than Saudi Arabia.
That's right. And we're giving no incentive to keep that going. No incentive to build refineries and no incentive to oil because of the non fossil fuel policies of the Biden administration.
They have more leases to drill on American soil than ever before.
That is correct, but if you've got the lease and you have to build refineries, where we're at full capacity on refineries, what's the incentive to build a refinery to go onto those lands when you have an administration that wants to get rid of your product.
No, the incentive to not build the refineries is they know they can have a bottleneck, which leads to record profits. The less there is of heating fuel and gasoline, the more we pay for it. So it costs them, and a refinery takes about 10 years, whether it's the red tape they got to cut through and then the actual building it and everything. So it's not – Biden said he wants more refineries. But if I'm selling gas and I can get, you know, $5 a gallon because we have a limited supply, why am I going to invest all this money so I can sell it for $3 a gallon?
Yeah,
our resident Canadian – in the chat is saying, why don't we hook up with Canada, who has natural resources?
We did, but it was called the Keystone Pipeline.
That is dirty oil. That is from the sands in Western Canada. That is not what we use for gasoline and fuel. I'm not sure what we use it.
It's a source of oil that can be refined.
It can't be for gasoline. I'm not exactly sure what it is used for, but it's not. It's a different type of oil. There's different grades. Of it. I'm not an oil man, but I know. All right, enough. So she's nuts, and none of it, and we all hope this doesn't come to pass.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's do. School of Fool. A Vermont middle school soccer coach and his daughter say they were both suspended for complaining about the presence of a transgender student in the girls' locker room. I made a social media post and referred to the male student as a male, and I was punished because I misgendered him, Randolph Union middle school teacher Travis Allen told Tucker Carlson Tonight, Thursday, speaking of the transgender female student. Allen said he was uncomfortable with the 14-year-old sharing the room with his daughter and her fellow female volleyball players. When he publicly aired his concerns, the coach and father of four said he was slapped with an unpaid suspension. His daughter, Blake Allen, by the way, I forgot to download the video. I don't know if you guys watched the video, but this girl is very brave, this Blake Allen, because she's got a motherfucker of a lisp. And she just, and she.
Oh, God. Oh. Cindy Brady laughed at her.
I mean, she was really talking a lot on the snippet I saw from Tucker Carlson. God bless this brave little girl. I mean, good for her. She talks like Sylvester.
Oh, God.
Well, but good for her. Anyway, according to Blake, when she complained to school officials about they shut me down, saying that there was nothing they could do, the teen said she was later told to take part in a restorative justice circle, which I guess is different than a circle jerk, and pen an apology letter to her trans schoolmate or face disciplinary action. I said I would rather have a 5-day suspension. Sure, I get to stay home than have to apologize because I'm not sorry. According to Blake, she was forced to miss school for expressing her opinion that a male shouldn't be in a woman's locker room. The school previously came under fire for banning the girls' volleyball team from its own locker room after several players, among them Blake Allen, complained about the trans student, reported the Daily Signal. Blake told station WCAX-TV earlier this month that the transgender girl made an inappropriate comment as the volleyball team was changing, which made students feel uncomfortable. In his Facebook post addressed to the legal guardian of the trans females and locker room incident. By the way, can I just stop right here? You're the coach of the team. The best way you could communicate with a member of the team is Facebook? Really? Ugh. Anyway. you got to be kidding me with this. And Joe touched on this a little bit in his blog. In his Facebook post addressed to the legal guardian of the trans female after the locker room incident, Coach Allen wrote in part, "The truth is your son watched my daughter and multiple other girls change in the locker room. While he got a free show, they got violated. You think this is fine and dandy? I wonder how you would feel if I watched you undress." A little turned on, quite frankly. Maybe we can arrange that. Orange Southwest Unified School District Superintendent Lane Millington wrote in a letter sent out last week that Allen told school officials he called the trans student a he on purpose. Such conduct is unprofessional and unbecoming and flies in the face of the Vermont Principals Association's athletic regulations, Vermont state regulations, and the RUHS middle high school expectations, Millington wrote. The superintendent confirmed that Allen has been suspended without pay for misgendering the student. He added that the school officials have significant concerns about the coach's ability to support all of our students as the law requires. Allen reportedly offered to stay away from using transgender pronouns altogether when communicating with transgender students, but district officials demanded a public apology when he refused to issue. The father and daughter have since retained a lawyer from the Alliance Defending Freedom, a Christian legal advocacy group committed to curtailing LGBTQ rights and protections. Attorney Tyson Langhofer said he has filed a lawsuit against the Vermont school alleging unconstitutional retaliation. Under Vermont's education policy, transgender students are allowed to participate in sports and use restrooms or locker rooms that correspond with their gender identity. The use of restrooms and locker rooms by transgender students requires schools to consider numerous factors. A transgender student should not be required to use a locker room or restroom that conflicts with the student's gender identity. And this was Joe's blog, and we will let Joe have first voice.
Yeah, well, as you brought up, the mistake that the young woman made was posting this on social media.
No, it wasn't the woman. Hold on. It wasn't the woman. It was the coach.
It was the coach?
Okay. It was the coach.
Okay. The mistake the coach made is that he posted this on social media. The bottom line is, look, if you want to be a transgender or whatever, you have to realize that basically you are what you were born with. And if you are a man and you're in a women's locker room and you're making biological women uncomfortable, you need to use the men's room. I'm sorry. You could be what you want. You can wear lipstick, a skirt, whatever. You're still biologically a man, and if you're making people uncomfortable, you need to use what you biologically started out with. Everybody's so concerned about the LGBTQ people that, which I think is a mental illness, to tell you the truth. But the rights of the
men... Oh, okay. Well, hold on. You're not a mental health expert, so...
It's a mental illness.
Oh, well, just because you say it again doesn't make it so. I mean, that's what anti-gay people would say about homosexuality. It's a mental illness. I mean, so...
The gay people are saying it's a mental illness.
I don't know any gay people saying that.
It's a mental illness, okay? Now, basically, you have people with this alternative lifestyle that expect the rights of the majority of people that don't have this lifestyle. And we have to kowtow to the alternative lifestyle and their pronouns and put people in an awkward situation. And if you say anything about it, your outcast is intolerant. In addition, you have to be, if you want tolerance, you have to respect the rights of other people to be tolerant of you. And in that fact, if you are a transgender person and you are physically a male, then you need to use the men's bathroom if you're making naturally born women uncomfortable. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. You have to realize if you want people to accept your alternate lifestyle, you need to make some concessions. And to me, some of the concessions is you have to use the bathroom of your original gender. And if you are a male playing on a female sports team, sorry, you're physically a man, and it is unfair and an unfair advantage to the females on that team.
All right. There's a lot of things here. I feel like an easier solution would have been that both use the girls' locker room, but, you know, if you get changed at two different times. If you're uncomfortable with this trans student in there, then you can change. Then the group of you can change before or after the trans student is in there. Everybody. So you're still using the same locker room, but if you're uncomfortable as a young woman with this, that's fine. These 14-year-old girls should not be made to feel uncomfortable. I would want to investigate what these alleged comments were, because that kind of got glossed over, and to me, that's a big part of the story. I mean, if the student is making people uncomfortable, not with their presence, but how they're acting, well, now we might have a situation where you're removed from the team, or you can't dress with them, not because of who you are, but because of your behavior. I would like to know more about that. I don't think this student, the girl, should be suspended. I don't think she should have been forced to apologize. She's allowed to feel uncomfortable in that situation. She should not be forced to dress with somebody like that. She's a 14-year-old girl.
You know how insecure they are. You know, I mean, they're very insecure. And to have that, I mean, it just exacerbates the situation.
Now, so I feel like she was dealt with unfairly. I feel like the girls on the team might be getting dealt with unfairly, because it's not a matter of kowtowing. We want to try to make everybody feel comfortable. So how? So let's try to problem solve. Well, we have to. They have to use the locker room. That's what the law says. But we have students that are uncomfortable. They're all going to play on the team. How can we problem solve it? That's what should have been done. It wasn't done. Now, this coach, on the other hand, first of all, you are a position of authority. You are a leader. If there are concerns, and you're allowed to have these concerns, you take it up with the principal. You take it up with the superintendent. You don't go to Facebook. Once you go on social media, we have a problem. And then you're going to double down and go on Tucker Carlson? Goodbye. Now I don't know what their contract is. I don't know if they could fire him. But if it was me and I could, I would fire him for that. And I also don't think he isn't a. It's one thing if the 14-year-old girl wants to call this trans student he. If that's what she wants to do, fine. You know, you can have counseling, you could have talks. You know, we prefer you didn't this, that, the other. She shouldn't be punished for that. She's a student and whatever. He, on the other hand, the teacher, is in a position of leadership. And if you just want to make somebody feel uncomfortable because you want to make somebody feel uncomfortable, then no, I can't have you in this position of leadership. Refer to that person by, you know, the school. The law is what the law is. Refer to this person, no matter what you think, by their desired pronouns. So, in summary, and then we'll let Pip have a crack at it. In summary, I felt like the daughter, the 14-year-old student, was treated unfairly. I feel like she's being forced to do things that she's not comfortable with, and I don't like that. This coach cannot be treated with harshly enough, in my opinion. Not that he doesn't have valid concerns. He might have valid concerns. I don't want to get into that. But the way he handled himself, the way he's conducted himself, I have lost confidence in his ability to be in an authority position. All right, Pip.
Well, I think that a lot of what was already said is what I feel as well, that at that age, it can be really uncomfortable for, you know, girls. Well, some girls are uncomfortable disrobing in front of other girls. It's not a matter of that this person was transgender or not. But, you know, there's a different way to discuss it, to handle the situation. It sounds mishandled, but I am concerned about what were the comments that were supposedly made. I mean, if the person said something and all the girls decided to make that as, oh, that's our excuse, now we have a good reason. That's one thing. I know how mean middle school girls can be. Damn, I know how mean they can be. But the other thing is, if the transgender student was saying things that to deliberately make the girls uncomfortable, ooh, that has to be dealt with. That can't be happening. It has nothing to do with their trans situation. It has to do with, you know, the kids in the school. If one of them, you know, if they were all cis women and one of them decided to, you know, make comments that made the other girls really feel uncomfortable, that has to be dealt with. That might mean, you know, suspension or being thrown off the team if it doesn't, you know, get turned around and made better somehow. But, yeah, you can't have them uncomfortable for that. I think that that is something that was kind of glossed over, as Davin said, and I'm curious to know what really happened. The coach is concerned. Wow, you have some growing up to do, sir. I mean, you don't go to social media like a teenager when you're unhappy. And whether you like it or not, this is the person's pronoun. It's only just plain old politeness to use what they've asked you to use.
All right.
Do you realize that if they brought this, if the coach did not put this on social media, and there was a meeting with the superintendent and the principal, and maybe the parties concerned, and he said, all right, what Davin said, the girls, the natural-born girls will use the locker room at a certain time, and the transgender person
will. Well, I didn't even say it like that, Joe. I said who's ever uncomfortable dressing with the trans student can go in this time, and who's ever fine with it. So I'm letting the girls decide what time slot they want to have.
Yeah.
Then do it behind closed. Yeah. So then you make that concession, and you do it behind closed doors, and there never would have been a story.
Right. I feel like
hang up a curtain between this side of the lockers and that side. It's that simple.
And that's my problem with this. This is clearly grandstanding. That's why I said this story has many layers to it. And I feel bad. I feel bad for all of the students, the trans student and the rest of the volleyball team, because I feel like they are being manipulated for some type of social war. What do they call it? I forget. And like I said, this coach has no business being anywhere around children, because he's not somebody you could look up to. I know he thinks maybe he's sticking up for the girls, and in some ways he might be. And I'm fine with that, but the way you do it is the issue.
It may have been on the school's refusal to even have a discussion about this.
Well, we don't know what happened. I don't know.
I think the story indicated that the school was very...
Well, then you know what? Then so be it. Then resign. Then resign and pull your daughter out. If it bothers you so much, or leave the team. I mean, if it bothers you so much, and the law is the law in the state, and the school's position is what the school's position, but instead, what are you doing? You're dragging your daughter on Tucker Carlson? You're making public social media posts? Do you really have your children's best interests at heart? That's what I'm concerned about.
Does the school have the
children. Well, I think they screwed up too.
This was his way to grandstand and call attention, and it worked. We're discussing it, so that might be
That's fine, Joe.
There.
And he has that right. I just don't think he should ever coach again. I don't think he should ever coach high school girls. He has his right to do whatever he wants. I would never hire this guy. I wouldn't.
It's in support of the girls. I mean, it's not like he's following them. I don't, I think he's supporting the girls that feel uncomfortable.
But no, you have to support all of your students.
Refuses to identify.
Here's the thing, and then we'll move on. Neither the coach nor the superintendent or principal, whoever it is, supported all of the students. Both parties decided we're going to support some of the students, and that's where my problem lies. That's a horrible example, and I think it was that. That's my issue with it. All right, let's move on. Let's do some turbulent air.
This is your captain speaking. If you look to your right, you'll see a beautiful, serene river. If you look to your left, majestic mountains. Uh-oh, straight ahead, it seems like we have a big black cloud. We're going to need you to fasten your seatbelts, folks, because it looks like we're in for a turbulent flight.
A passenger, Sydney Watson, took to Twitter last week. See, what would we do without Twitter? Where would we take to if we didn't have Twitter?
You'd have to pay.
I don't know.
I would just have to yell from my porch.
You do that already. You're not fooling anybody. Yeah, same here.
Passenger Sydney Watson took to Twitter last week to express dissatisfaction with the seating arrangement on her American Airlines flight. Sister, nobody's happy on American Airlines. Watson complained of being wedged in a middle seat between two overweight passengers. She ranted that the obese passengers were too fat to be on a plane. You know what? If it's good enough for an ARC, it's good enough for a plane. Settle down, sister. She claimed that during the three-hour flight, she was sweat on and touched without her consent. Again, a Pornhub video is being made. I like it. This is absolutely not acceptable or okay. Fair enough. If fat people want to be fat, fine. Thank you, Sydney. Thank you for your permission. But it is,
I feel blessed.
But it is something else entirely when I'm stuck in between you with your arm rolls on my body for 3 hours, she complained. And unless there's butter. Because if I can put some butter on those arm rolls, delish. Delicious.
Butter on rolls. Yum.
Yum, yum, yum.
Are these garlic rolls by any chance?
She demanded repatriations. What is that word? Is that a real word?
Reparations?
No, not reparations. I know that word. Repatriations.
Repatriations?
Yes, repatriations.
I thought that meant brought back to your own country.
Okay, maybe. Oh, but repatriate. Maybe the fat people need to go to the country where they came from.
I think she's a moron and meant to say reparations, but she wrote repartee.
Exactly. I think you're right.
Yeah, and they were just wanting to make her look like an asshole.
And they did.
Yeah, repatriation means restoring somebody to their country of origin.
I don't know if Steve Bunker would say a word. He doesn't. Yeah, he meant one way, no way he's talking about.
You shall go back to the jungles of Chunky Monkey Landia, you fatties. You with your rolls. Delicious rolls. She demanded repatriations from American Airlines, which initially responded to one of her tweets with a reply that said, "Our passengers come in all different shapes and sizes. We're sorry you were uncomfortable on your flight." No, you're not. Unpleased. I believe the proper word should have been displeased, but unpleased with that response. Yeah, well, look at that. The website wants to make her look like an asshole, and then they look like an asshole.
Yeah, it's like, does anyone speak this language that we're all trying to learn here?
No, I will clean it up. Displeased with that response, she continued her rant. The airline then informed Watson that it offers a variety of seats and styles, so customers can select what works best for them. No, we select what we can afford.
Yes, no, that's not how it works. It's like, no, I'm not going to pay an extra $1,000 to be more comfortable because you decide to rape and pillage.
Well, dear.
No, thank you.
Well, dear, that's the non-fatty fee. That's what that is. Now, however, it seems as if she has, in fact, been offered the repatriations she sought, according to Lad Bible. Watson posted a letter she received from airline, which offered her $150 credit. "I sincerely regret the enjoyment and comfort of your flight. AA was diminished due to another customer exceeding their seat space," the letter reads. "We do our best
By the way, comfort and enjoyment on a flight, unless you're on the Sultan of Saudi Arabia's A380, there's no comfort or enjoyment on any fucking flight lately.
Yeah, and they don't regret it at all.
Yeah. Nope.
"We do our best to avoid uncomfortable situations regarding seats." No, you don't. You keep on making them smaller. Stop it, you lying bastards. "I understand your disappointment with the situation not being remedied to your satisfaction. As a gesture of goodwill, I have issued a $150 trip credit, which will arrive via separate email. Still unsatisfied with the offer, Watson says, I'd rather take the $150 American Airlines offer me as a refund and give it to someone who needs a personal trainer or a gym membership." Aww. She's a nice girl. Okay. Okay.
No, that was mean.
I think she should be compensated. Listen, these seats are very small. I mean, even a normal-sized person is uncomfortable in these seats. But if you happen to be sitting in between two people who are of the extra large variety, it's not right. You didn't pay for that experience. And if there's no place to move you, they should compensate you. Do I think this will be a trend? No, I do not. But I as bitchy as this woman seems, I do empathize with her.
Yeah, it could be really uncomfortable being, smushed in between people and having bodies pressed up against you in a confined space. And look, we just, well, we're not completely out of the pandemic, but I mean, we've just had a worldwide pandemic, and you can't get enough personal space, and here you are, like, literally up against a person. You know, there's a lot of different ways in which people are made very uncomfortable on planes. There's not enough leg room for even, like, normal height people. But, I mean, they are making the seats smaller and smaller, and Americans are getting fatter and fatter. Something's got to give. Of course she was uncomfortable. I feel for her. But you know that the airline is a liar when they feel, oh, we feel so sorry for you. No, they don't. Let's look at who the real problem is. The real problem is the airline. They are making things uncomfortable for all of the passengers.
So should we?
Should be compensated, or at least moved to some place.
Well, I don't think there's a place to move her. Should we?
No, there's probably not. They overbook.
Should overweight people be forced to upgrade into a seat that's more luxurious? I mean, were they not spilling over? I mean, that's one option. The other option is, and Chuck Schumer has been wanting to regulate these airlines for a long time, and I agree with him, because God knows we bail them out all the time. Make the seats bigger. We are bigger people than when we started flying. I know it sucks, but look around. We all like seconds on dessert. It's a problem. But, something has to give besides my waistband.
The airlines get careless, and when you're on a plane, sometimes you're not in the... I mean, look, she was getting smothered. You know, if he couldn't find a receipt, she went about it the wrong way. She's very heavy-handed on this. But if he offered her $150 credit, that's fine, because usually the airlines get careless. You know, they feel like as long as you're on the plane, you're lucky to be on the damn thing, and it's their land, their law. You know, and what are you going to do? You know, I mean, if there's nobody, you know, if there's nobody, no seating arrangements, because, you know, they've been cutting back on flights. Planes have been fucking packed. So there's no place to put, you know, that's where you got to sit. That's where you got to sit. However, you know, I got smothered here. It was a very uncomfortable flight. I'd like to see if I can get some compensation. And if they give you compensation, don't bitch about it. You're lucky you even got that.
No,
you're lucky you got that in this day and age.
Listen, if we're not going to regulate it, and I think we should regulate it, I think we have to make these seats bigger. I mean, I know that means they get less people on the flights, but so be it. If we're not going to regulate it, then I'm sorry. If you are spilling over your seat, you cannot sit in our regular crappy coach chairs. I'm sorry. It's not fair to the people next to you. I mean, I know it's kind of harsh. I'm not really fat shaming. I'm not saying you can't be that big. I'm saying your girth should not infringe on somebody else's comfort.
Yeah, it's not fair if you're at that point where you're making the other people uncomfortable. It's really not fair.
I tell you, I used to love to fly. I hated it so much. Now, when I flew to Vegas last year, when we worked in Myrtle last year, I decided to drive. I didn't even want to bother flying. I said, fuck it, I'll drive. Yeah, that's where flying has become. Between the airports, the luggage, they're charging you for the breathe the fucking air. They don't give you a meal anymore. Not even the snack box, which you pay $10. They throw you pretzels like you're a fucking seal and give you a little thing of fucking soda you got to drink like an urchin. And we'll drink it down before she comes back to pick the cup back up. It's like being captured for 3 hours.
So when they threw the bag of pretzels at you, did you balance it on your nose like a good seal?
Of course I did. I'm not rude.
Did you guys? I don't know if you remember this, but the Foo Fighters have a video for their song "Learning to Fly,"
and that's
one of the scenarios where Dave Grohl is dressed up in a fat suit as a fat woman in a tracksuit, and rest in peace, Taylor Hawkins is dressed up as like her fat son or something, and they're sitting, and then one of the other band members is wedged in the middle, and when they start getting crazy from the drugs that are in the coffee, Dave Grohl's looking at the thin guy in between them and thinks he's a cheeseburger. And it's exactly the scenario where he's sitting there all wedged tight in between these two exploding people, and I'm like, yeah, that kind of sucks.
You can't make that.
I was
that,
sat next to a guy that was doing some of that man spreading, and he had his thigh like smacked up right against me. That was very uncomfortable.
He's
like, I don't want your body parts touching me.
You should be happy his junk wasn't on your thigh. All right, let's move on. Junk's in the news.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
So as we like to do with the Drunks in the News, we have the Benjamin Franklin drinking term for being plastered. This week it is spoke with his friend. Yeah, if his friend is named Jack Daniels. With his friend. I like that one.
Oh, out with his friends or hope?
Spoke with his friend.
Spoke with his friend.
Yes.
That is a
good one. Tonight, we're going to be speaking with friends. I like that. Uber Eats is keeping an eye on how many alcoholic orders you place, and one customer is not happy about being called out for having a few. An email sent to an unidentified Australian customer who then shared it on Reddit, of course, because if you can't tweet, you Reddit. Said, our systems indicate that you've placed a few alcohol orders over the past few weeks. Are you okay? It went on to say, if the ordering pattern continued, a hold may be put on the customer's account, or it could be raised for further review. Or you're just going to have to go out and get your booze yourself. We'd really prefer if you would just get drink at the bar and drive home and leave us out of this. That's what we would prefer. Experts recommend that no more than 10 standard drinks are consumed each week, or as Joe calls that, Wednesday. News.com.au understands Uber Eats began sending these alerts in August and does not specify maximum alcohol ordering limits to discourage users from over-ordering. The email shared a link to DrinkWise, Uber has had a partnership with the not-for-profit organization since 2016 when it launched a campaign against drunk driving and furthered its involvement in 2018 when Uber Eats first launched alcohol delivery in Melbourne. An Uber Eats driver, delivery driver is required to scan a customer's ID in the app to ensure they are over the age of 18 and check they are not visibly intoxicated before handing over an order. It's 21 to drink in the United States, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. How old is it now?
21.
Well, I don't know if that's every state, is it?
Yeah, I think that's.
I think it is.
Oh.
The driver is paid by Uber to return the alcohol to the store if a person is underage or visibly intoxicated. The unimpressed recipient of the email said they got an alcohol order or two a week. Some labeled it lazy risk mitigation and claimed Uber is only looking after itself. These corporations jumping on these charitable causes to feign care is sickening, one person criticized. Alcoholism is a genuine issue, but the way to solve it isn't some vaguely threatening email from a delivery company. Well, what do you want, the CEO of Uber to have an intervention at your house? Some suggested restricting how much alcohol someone could buy a week for their health was ironic, given there was no limit on junk food orders. Ain't got a point there. Yet order 2 dozen cream donuts, 6 triple cheeseburgers with extra cheese sauce, 1 kilo of fully loaded cheese fries, 4 tubs of Ben and Jerry, 6 liters of Coke, and you're good to go. Or as Joe calls that, Thursday. But order... But order 100 big...
You know, I tell you, we haven't hung out in a while. You are so wrong on both. I've cut down on my drinking. I'm on a very low-carb diet. I'm trying to get my blood sugar levels really low. And I've been on this low-carb diet. I really, you know, I'm going to have a drink in a little bit. But not much anymore. And I don't eat that much anymore. I'm down to 206 pounds. I've lost like 30 pounds in the past year and a half.
You know what we call that?
Hey, you're looking good, Joe.
You know what we call that? Kumia moved. The compound is closed. That's what we call that diet.
The Kumia moved diet. Yes. A little bit.
And the new place is going to be 5 states away, so it's not like it's 3 towns over anymore.
Yes.
So. Right.
But order 100 Big Macs, no problem, sir. Seems perfectly healthy, another wrote. One user argued the effect of unhealthy foods was not comparable. They both absolutely have an impact on the health system, but no one's killing a group of kids with their four-wheel drive because they're driving under the influence of a triple cheeseburger. No, but if you get in the way of me as I'm trying to get my triple cheeseburger, there could be casualties.
Yeah, game on. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, I don't really even eat cheeseburgers, let alone a triple anything. But, you know. But if I was going to bulk up for a flight, I might. Uber told news.com.au it was committed to ensuring responsible alcohol consumption. This includes frequent communication to encourage moderation, educating consumers about their government guidelines, implementing ID and sobriety checks, and incorporating alcohol ordering limits. If a customer's order exceeds the limits, they will be notified in the app and unable to check out. This is to ensure that we can make safe, smart, and responsible decisions about alcohol consumption together. I don't need you meddling. A year ago, it was revealed popular alcohol delivery service Jimmy Briggs was being investigated over whether it breached liquor laws in relation to the June 2018 death of a man who reportedly spent $15,000 with the company over 3 years, including daily orders in the weeks leading up to his death. I don't think it's the delivery service that's the problem. Almost 300 orders reportedly included several bottles of alcohol delivered almost daily, included 2 that were identical and placed within 10 minutes of each other in the fortnight prior to the 49-year-old man's death, or as Anthony called it, getting ready for the Halloween party. Liquor and Gaming New South Wales, Australia confirmed to the news.com.au on Friday it did not identify any breaches of the liquor laws that were in place at the time. In 2018, the investigation was closed. However, the New South Wales, Australia government has since introduced new laws. The new laws have made it mandatory for all delivery drivers to undertake the responsible service of alcohol training and to keep records of all refused deliveries, a spokesman said. It is now an offense to deliver an intoxicated person with a maximum penalty of $7,000. New South Wales has the strongest express delivery laws in the country. All right. I don't know if Uber Eats delivers booze, but you can go to Drizzly. Drizzly is a service that delivers booze. I don't really need these companies monitoring how much I'm drinking in my own home. It's one thing. It's one thing if the bartender at the bar is monitoring because I have to get home. I'm being responsible. I'm just drowning my liver. What? So now I have to drive and get the booze? You're not stopping me. You're just making me a drunk driver.
Yeah. When you bring up, I'm sorry, you were saying?
No, go ahead.
Oh, when they also brought up, one user argued the effect of unhealthy foods was not comparable. They absolutely have an impact on the health system, but no one is killing a group of kids with their four-wheel drive because they're driving under the influence of triple cheeseburgers. But the thing about it is that if you're having the stuff brought to your house, you're not going out. If you're having the food brought, you're not going out. And if you're having the booze, you're not going out, because if you're going to go out to get booze, you'd be out getting booze. You wouldn't be home. So it's the the privacy of your own home, and it's your own personal choice, and it's another intrusion of government. I think that they should just mind their own business. It's up to you how much you drink, and if you're doing it in the confines of your own home, that's your own business. Once you leave the confines, it's everybody's business. But if you're staying home, you know, and apparently that's why you have this stuff brought there, it's none of your business.
Now, the argument is, and I don't know what Australia is with their health care, but if it's government health care, and I have to pay for this, then it becomes my business. If I have to pay for your cirrhosis of the liver, now it's my problem. I don't know if that's the case in Australia, but that is the argument, if I was the government, that I would make. That your illness is costing all of us.
Well, then they should be monitoring all behavior and then counting how many cheeseburgers you ate last week.
All right.
If that's really what their reasoning is, they're not being consistent.
I have time. I am ready. To assume this task, I have the time. I will be monitoring all consumption of food and drink, because you people can't be left to your own devices. Because then what happens? You drag your fat ass onto a flight, and these poor airlines have to compensate you. But I can nip it in the bud. I could stop you from all this eating and drinking, so American Airlines can keep their $150, and the pretty girl in the middle doesn't have to feel uncomfortable with your sweaty rolls. Problem solved.
No, uncomfortable because I kept trying to touch her sweaty rolls, not because of my sweaty rolls. Oh, wait, did I say that out loud?
You did.
Sorry.
You did.
But it's like, screw you, government. You're not allowed to come into my house and tell me how much I'm allowed to drink. And it really is defeating the purpose, because if somebody is a bona fide alcoholic, do you want them to drive to the liquor store now to go get some more? No. You want them to have it delivered to their house, where they're going to find a way to drink anyway. And it's really none of your business to be limiting how much. I mean, if the person is being belligerent and is already completely blotto, I can see the point of saying, I'm sorry, I can't deliver this to you because
you're already on
another planet, you know. But, like, I can see you're going to get alcohol poisoning if I give you this pint. But that's a different thing.
Yeah, if they're inebriated and you go there, you know, there is the law where you have to take the alcohol back, and I would agree with that. It's the same thing as a bartender refusing to serve alcohol if somebody's drunk at a bar. You know,
yeah,
if they're in their own house and you're drunk, I can't serve you. You know, it's weird the way they have rules. If you're up, like, when I go up to, like, Mohegan Sun and you're working up there, Dab, I don't know if you're up in Connecticut, you're at the bar, at their bar up there, the Country Western bar, and I like to get a shot of Jack Daniels and a beer. I can't order them together. You can't order them together. It's Connecticut. I don't know if it's Connecticut law or the Mohegan tribe law, but I believe it's Connecticut law where you can't order a liquor and a beer at the same time. You have to do it separately, which I think is okay. What am I going to do? Argue? You know. But sometimes you have those laws into place.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You know what I learned from that? George Thorogood did not write his songs in Connecticut.
No, he can't.
One bourbon, hold on, amuse yourselves, come back 20 minutes later. One scotch, hold on, amuse yourselves, come back 20 minutes later. One beer, a much worse song.
Dude, let me tell you something. If I go back up to Mohegan, I have to steal that and do that. That's a great line.
That is great. Oh, my God.
I spit gold, kids. I spit gold. Gather around your computer. All right. Yeah, it's a little much. It's a little much for them to be doing this oversight. But, all right. Well, listen. Everybody could use a little extra money. Gather around your computer, kids. You've been entertained. Now I'm going to put money in your pockets. This is an important story right here. A TikToker discovered an enterprise. Discovered. Like they're Columbus.
Yeah.
A TikToker discovered an enterprising, albeit odoriferous, way to earn up to $180,000 per year by donating poop to science. A clip detailing the heave-inducing life hack and her feces-to-fortune success story amassed nearly 170,000 views on TikTok. Is that it? Is that it, really? Like, a girl with big boobs gets millions. You're telling me how to make money by pooping? Only 170,000? What's wrong with you, society? Yuck. Want to make money donating your poop? Teases TikToker Isa Fedelino in the post to her almost 30,000 followers. According to the clip, prospective stool donors simply have to go to humanmicrobes.org, where they can earn an eye-popping $500 per stool donation. If you're having a bowel movement every day, the extrapolates out to $180,000 a year for simply sitting on the toilet, part of the USA and Canada-based stool donor network. Why do they offer such a massive sum for excrement? The site explains it is a major problem that the vast majority of people in modern society are in poor health and have damaged gut microbiome. To help maintain people's fecal librium, human microbes... Human microbes is trying to find people who are healthy enough to be high-quality stool donors and connect them with doctors, researchers, clinical trials, individuals who need to rebalance their gut microbiome, and the Charmin Bear. They can harvest their drug.
By the way, with the Charmin Bear, I hate that commercial where the little bear wants to wipe his ass and the mama bear takes some of the toilet paper away. I'm like, fuck you, I don't be walking. I'm a bear. I don't have to be walking like a penguin. Give me that toilet paper back.
And that Papa Bear is in the bathroom hogging it up. These bears are apparently shitting all day long, and he's got to be in there, like,
comparing. I need to wipe my ass, and I need all that toilet paper. I'm not going to walk like a penguin around the woods.
No. Wait, you're going to do the boot scoot on the rug, yes, little bear?
What am I going to do, drag my ass across a pine log because you wouldn't give me enough toilet paper? I'm not doing it.
What the hell kind of sponsors are we if we're, like, shorting each other on the paper towel? I mean, the toilet paper.
Yeah,
let them have their toilet paper.
And we need a full roll of toilet paper, and we don't need the mama bear skimping on it.
By the way, if you feel like you might be coming down with COVID, do stock up on toilet paper before it hits and neither of us, you can leave the house. Bless, oh holy Mr. Helix for this.
You can get it delivered, stupid. You can have toilet paper delivered.
Who am I going to call to get toilet paper delivery?
The supermarket, Amazon, they all deliver.
Yeah, oh, they do, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, all right.
Okay, 2003 Pip. They can harvest their dung, the easiest way to collect gut microbes, and use it for research or procedures to battle deadly gut infections. To see if their feces are fit for the job, contributors must undergo a series of craplications, including filling out a screening questionnaire. Well, I'll tell you what, Pip, the New York Post is writing for you. You are their demographic.
They are.
They also must...
Imagine if you got that job and then you got fired and you got to go on unemployment in the ground. Did you shit today? Did you try to shit today? Did you?
Did you go around seeing if there are any other people that wanted your crap?
Yeah. No, nobody wants to take shit from me. Well, did you have somebody sign that?
Well, I don't know if there's upward mobility, but there's downward mobility. They also must undergo a test to verify their stool type and physical fitness and complete a video interview, hopefully while crapping. That's the way the interview should be completed.
Yeah, right in the toilet.
Oh, I caught you at work.
Do you think you can provide a stool sample for us every day? I certainly hope so.
Well, you know what I like about this? You can use prunes as a write-off, so I like that.
Nice.
It approved, the stool donor is finally ready to poop for... If approved, the stool donor is finally ready to poop for pay. The actual collection process involves storing one's dung in a plastic bag, then shipping it to human microbes or a recipient on dry ice. You got that? That shit has to be fresh. The costs of which are paid for per the site. Best of all, manure merchants are kept completely anonymous, so people will never know that your business is literally doing your business. I'd be mortified, like, if I had corn on the cob. I'd be mortified that day.
I'd be mortified having to get that much dry ice every day, have the postman looking at you like, what's this for?
I just like to see, like, the delivery people out of these two stories. What are you doing? I'm dropping off booze. What are you doing? Picking up shit.
We really should have stayed in school.
Needless to say, the idea of going from feces to fortune set the wheels turning on TikTok. Finally, get something out of my IBS, said one intrigued viewer, while another wrote, I'll be the first poolionaire. For 180,000 years, sign me up, exclaimed another, potential heeding nature's call for cash. But don't be lured by the idea of gastrointestinal gold rush just yet. Becoming a dung donator involves more than the ability to go number two. According to Human Microbes, prospective poop donors must be in the tiny 0.01% of people who are still healthy enough to qualify as high-quality stool donor, per the site. This means being in exceptional physical and mental health. Top athletes are best, and under 30, although there is no minimum age requirement. Minimal antibiotic usage is also a must, so you don't upset the balance of the fecal system. The selective criteria certainly mean most applications will go down the toilet. In fact, despite screening 26,000 potential donors, Human Microbe still hasn't found the supply of high-quality donors they're looking for, hence the $500 per poop financial incentive. I wonder if you can negotiate that. I go, listen, I have some primo shit, and I'm willing to give it to you, but $500 doesn't seem fair. I can get $1,000 for my shit on the brown market. What are you going to do for me?
I'm loopy as Fruit Loops, but you could throw me $25.
Pip's like, just scrape my underwear. Give me $15, we'll call it a day. Just don't bother the fissure. The requirements may seem stringent, however. Human Microbes say selectiveness is essential given deteriorating health levels nationwide. Chronic disease and general poor health have been drastically increasing over the past decades to the point where the vast majority of the population is now extremely unhealthy, they write. It goes well beyond a single generation being a little overweight due to eating too much. They add it's exponentially worsening crisis with each generation in large part due to the loss of our host native microbes that get passed down generationally. Thankfully, not all potentially lucrative side hustles are so selective or smelly. An enterprising TikToker is going viral after showing how she earns upwards of $10,000 per year a month by selling rebranded items on Amazon. I was unaware that this was a thing.
So was I.
So was I.
I haven't seen this in Forbes, so yeah, I didn't.
Well, now you should wipe your ass with Forbes. Should wipe your ass with Forbes and pay attention to TikTok. I don't think I'm healthy enough to do this, unfortunately. I mean, but I guess I could get tested. I would kind of do it. I would do it. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's anonymous. I would totally do it.
I mean, I can live the lifestyle I want as long as I'm around a toilet once a day. I would totally do this.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, it's embarrassing if somebody found out.
Well, I'll tell you this, Pip. You don't put this on your Tinder profile. I mean,
I had a parasite over the summer, and I had to drop off a sample to the doctor, and it was absolutely disgusting. You know, so
yeah.
You know, it's a shit job. Huh. Well, what'd you think? It was going to have a little bow tie on it. It's a turd, you dumbass.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, I think once you've done it several times, you probably get a system. Like you would have to get like yourself a bedpan. You get yourself a bedpan, and then you get yourself a non-cooking spatula or something like that. Like, you have to make sure you have the tongs or the spatula not in the kitchen, because that would be a terrible mistake.
No, don't.
When I had to get the sample for the doctor, they gave me this shit play set to bring home. To get everything going, so
the Play-Doh Fun Factory.
Essentially, what it was, yeah.
Well, that's cool, but the problem with the shit fun set as opposed to the Play-Doh fun set, as you recall, in the Play-Doh fun set, when you squeezed out the Play-Doh and went through that little machine, you could get all different shapes and sizes, like triangles and circles. With the shit play set, you only get stars. That's all you get. You get one star.
Well, what you can't.
My grandfather passed away when I was, I think, 4 or 5. But one of the best memories, he was a swing man. He used to buy me Play-Doh, and then he'd make. He goes, "Look, we're going to make little dogs do."
I love them. That's so funny. Oh my god. Yeah, you can't make different shapes? Okay.
All right. So we would all do this, right? But probably not healthy enough to do it.
I'm not I wouldn't be affected, no.
I wonder, I think I'm probably too old at this point. Probably too old, but probably too out of
shape. No, if you had proper diet, you know, like I said, I was reading this book that really changed the way I'm eating, and just the way, you know, because you wonder, why is diabetes a big problem now? Why does a lot of people have it? Because they changed the food. They changed the food around so much that it's so different than what it was from the 70s, the way they manufacture food, that it, you know, there's a lot of problems that you have. And if you eat well, there's still a lot of additives they put in food, that, you know, sugars and stuff like that, that just complicate things. That's why with peanut allergy.
Corn syrup.
I used to say, you know, I don't understand. Yeah, I used to have peanuts. There's no problems with peanut allergies. It's bullshit. Somebody kind of straightened me out and said, well, actually, they changed how food is, and things react differently now. So for that simple fact, when they're saying, well, there's a lot of unhealthy people, you know, in America and the world now. Yeah, there is, because the remanufactured food to make it convenient, to make it tasty, and to make it unhealthy.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take our final break of the evening, then we'll come back with some scamming scammers. On the break, we have new music from Milk Boy Jr. featuring Emily Turan with